Our scripture lesson today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Perhaps maybe this is a different avenue for a New Year's Day scripture, but for the sermon Crossing the Line. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed in our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that is what mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We all live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things he done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What are we is plain to God, and I hope it is plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. May God add his blessings to these words and to our heart as we seek him in prayer. Join with me, please. Father, these words are not mine. They are yours. And may they be uplifting and pointed and teaching and strengthening and give us something to feast on and feed on as we go away from here, Father. Let these words not just be left behind when the door is shut, but that they carry us through from week to week. They are your thoughts. They are your reaching out to us to have us walk a little closer with you and share just a hint more of what you would have us be. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. Greg, do me a favor, turn them fans on, please. I am cooking. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
We made it, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right, because I know you're smart, and because I've been teaching you all these years, I'm going to talk to you about a little event that took place in August 490 B.C. Many of you were there then, right? Some of you were there? I'm not going to point out anybody, because I'm not getting in trouble. But I know you're all intelligent, well read up, so I'm going to say the name Philippides. Everybody knows who Philippides is, right? Oh, you poor unschooled individuals. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be here to lead them with the knowledge and the everything that I am. I'm not about to get struck, am I? In August 490 B.C., Something took place that would affect the world today. It would make people do something which to me is quite frankly out of your mind to want to do. But because a representation of this from 490 B.C., and we all know what B.C. stands for, right? That didn't sound very convincing to me. What's B.C. stand for? That's a long time ago, ain't it? I mean, to tell you what, some of you was just little kids back then. Philippides was a Greek messenger. And the legend of Philippides goes like this, or Pheripides, whichever way you want to pronounce it. It states that he was sent from a battlefield to Athens to announce the Persians had been defeated in a battle in which he had just fought. It is said he ran the entire distance, some 150 miles, without stopping, and burst into the assembly exclaiming, "We have won! We have won!" and then collapsed and died in front of the arena. The battle he had just fought in was the battle of Marathon. Anybody heard that word? What do we normally associate Marathon with? And if somebody says a gas station, I'm going to... Yes, Wally?
Running!
That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about these people that think it's fun to run. Now look at me. I am the picture of athletic prowess. Well, maybe from this side. And I get fascinated with this because I've got a couple of friends who are into running. Let me explain to you when Paul runs. All right? When I hear my name called at the supper table, I run. When I hear the ding go off on the oven knowing that the fried chicken is done, I run. That's about it. Oh, I might run after the auctioneer trying to keep up with which tractor he's moving to. Wait a minute, I'm coming. And there are a few occasions where I've had to run from my wife because of my big mouth. And that doesn't work out for me because I don't run very fast. And she's pretty crafty. She catches me pretty quick. But there are people that run marathons. And we know those kind of people, don't we? You ain't never seen them trucks out there on the back windows of SUVs and everything like that. They say 13.4, 26.2. Do you know what that is? That's a half marathon and a marathon. That means some dummy in that truck ran 26 miles for what? There wasn't no chicken at the end of that race. Oh, if I ever ran a marathon, they better have ambulances lined up the whole way. All right, we'll put him in this and take him to the next checkpoint. These people enjoy it. I'm not judging them. They make my head hurt. I used to have to bring in the cows. And we used to get new heifers when it was time to milk. And at that time of day, when I was a younger man, we were milking 285 cows when I left home. That's a lot. And every so often, we'd get a new heifer in the bunch. And she didn't understand what the old cows did. The old cows, I could walk out and slam the gate open when it was time to bring them in for milking. In the afternoon, they just walk in because they knew what was coming. Hey, going to get fed, going to get milk, going to get more food. We got it figured out. But the young ones, they didn't want to go with the crowd, and they'd take off running. And I had to run after them. And I begged my grandfather for years to get me a three-wheeler so I could chase them down. Do you think I ever got a three-wheeler? No! He said, "You can run, boy." Rotten. But there are people that do this for fun. And it almost takes on an inter-voyage, an inter-journey. They train for this. Some of the marathons that have been run have been won from people or been finished. Let me not say won. Of course, if you cross that line, you win a marathon. Have been as young as 3 years old. 26 miles. As old as, are you ready? 100. Took them 9 hours. The average race marathon finishing time to this point in time is around 2.5 hours to run 26 miles. It takes me 15 minutes to run 26 feet. But they get into it and they start off. And I've got a friend who's a marathon runner. And I asked him about it one time. And he broke it down for me. He said, Paul, let me tell you about marathon running. He said, when you get to the starting line, that's the beginning. See the connection? And you're all jazzed up, you're back here, and you're jumping up and down, and you're stretching your muscles, and you're tightening and adjusting and everything, and then bang, away to go. And somebody always takes off like they've been shot out of a cannon right out of the gate. And that's the first person you see about 3 miles up the road, alongside the road going, He said, so you start off and you just find your way, and you start hunting for a stride. And along the way come obstacles, because the road's never flat. It goes uphill, it goes downhill, it turns. He said, along the way, you see different things. People dropped out. People that thought they could do it, that didn't train, that didn't prepare. Then comes the halfway point. He said, that's a hard time. A lot of runners hit what they call the wall. You see, when you're building up for a race, you take in a lot of carbohydrates, which transforms into glycerin. And the glycerin is what gives you the energy to run. And when you burn it all out, you hit the wall. You start to run out of gas. He said some hit it at the halfway point, some hit it at the three-quarter point, but you're going to hit it. He said at that halfway point, you start questioning. Why? Why? What in the world am I doing? My body is starting to hurt. He said that sometimes you can't hear anymore. It's just you alone with your thoughts. No matter who's standing next to you, you're just running. Now you're just running. You're just going through the motions. He said somehow or another you get past the halfway point. Now for those of you who don't understand, and we're going to make this the marathon. And here's the beginning, here's the end. Mile 1, mile 26. That means he's done been running for 13 miles. It is 25 miles from my house to this church. Just to give you an idea as to what 26 miles might look like. He says, you get around that three-quarter mark and you start to talk to yourself a little bit. Am I going to make it? I don't know if I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to make it. I feel like I'm going to make it. Where can I draw the energy from? He said muscles start to cramp. Things start to ache. Your body just literally is trying to shut down because you have been going nonstop. It doesn't matter how fast you're going. You're constantly going. He said, then you see off in the distance that line. And suddenly everything changes inside. You start thinking, hey, okay. All right, and people are running past you. Even up to that point, you're getting to that line. You see that line coming, and all you can think about is crossing the line. And people are running past you. What's the matter, slowpoke? And some people will actually run up alongside of you and talk to you while you're at this point right here and then take off again. He said, those are the people I usually like to trip. He was honest. He said, and then comes that moment where you cross that line and that marathon is finished. And you come on the other side of that line and your body hurts. It's shaking. It's shivering. It's sweat. Muscles are spasming. Most people fall down on the ground and get wrapped in foil blankets to regenerate heat. They're shoved bananas and everything else Adam and water and whatever else they can do to try to build them back up. And after a little while, you go home, you spend 20 minutes with your lower half blocked up in ice so that you can get the blood flowing again, back up out of the legs, back to the body to get it going again. And after all of that, you go home and you spend 2 days lying on the couch, cross that line. And you know what you do if you're a marathon runner? You start preparing to go again. That's what they do. They start preparing to go again. Guess what? We're all marathon runners. We just crossed the line out of last year. And a lot of people make a big deal about it. Oh, I'm going to have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to cut out sugar and fats and starch and stuff from my diet. And I'm going to quit watching so much TV. And I'm going to start going to the gym. And I'm going to finish that project. And some people may even be so stupid on New Year's Day that they make the resolution, I'm going to quit speeding down the highway. I never make that one. And we get to the starting line, and we're all full of vim and vigor, and we're ready to go. And then, God bless you, Ron, pow, we go. And we come out of there running as hard as we can go. And we get about right here, and the first thing hits us. Woo! And we weren't prepared. And then more, and then more. And suddenly, where you're trying to reach to, oh my goodness, I'm not going to make it. Oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, you know who does that? Everybody. Christian and non-Christian. It's a fact of life. We can say how much we love that book. We can say how much I believe in the Bible. I'm Bible man. I am Paul Bible Man Leatherman. I believe in everything that's in here. And everything that's in here neutrifies and fortifies me and makes me strong, and I can run my marathon. You're a liar. Because you're going to get beat down and you're going to get put beside. Doesn't mean you don't believe his book. Doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. It means what Paul says, you are a human. And until the day comes, you are going to groan and be burdened by this earthly tent, both physically and mentally and in every way possible, until that day that we cross the final line and get wrapped in our heavenly robe. Say amen right there. We're not going to fall down and die like Philippides did. We're going to make it. But how? Why? What's so special about a Christian? We go back to that verse in there, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. There is a story about London businessman Lindsay Clegg, who told the story of a warehouse property that he was selling. The building had been empty for months and months. Vandals had damaged the doors, smashed the windows, made trash of the interior. He was showing the prospective buyer the property. And Clegg said he would take pains to replace the broken windows, bring a crew to correct structural damage, and clean out the garbage. And in essence, fix up this old, tired, beat up, worn out building. And the buyer looked at him and said, I'm not worried about any repair. When I buy this place, I'm going to tear this building down and rebuild something completely different, something new. I don't want the building. I want the site. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Compared with the renovation God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping a warehouse slated for the wrecking ball. When we become God's, the old life is over. He makes all things new. All he wants is this site and the permission to build. Amen. That's the marathon. That's crossing the line. That's what we try to do. Sometimes crossing the line happens when? 9 o'clock at night, right? Man, you wander up to your bed. Oh, golly, thank you, Lord, for letting me make it through another day. I can't believe I got married and had children. I mean, sometimes that's all it is. Sometimes a marathon starts from the moment you wake up to the end of that day and crossing that line. 12, 14 hours. Can we do it alone? No. How do we do it? We do it with the fortifications from God Almighty. from what he is building within us. Paul breaks down the beginning of 2 Corinthians like this. He says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. We know that as we struggle to get through the end of this marathon, be it an hour, maybe it's a visit to the dentist. I know people that lose their minds over that. I got to go to the dentist. I don't want to go to the dentist. You got to go to the dentist. I'm not going to the dentist. And they sit in there and they come out the other end of the dentist and their teeth are all clean and bright. And they say, what do they say? Well, that wasn't so bad. Oh, boy, I tell you. Each of us have our own race to run. All we're trying to do is cross the line. Paul goes on to say, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed. We're tired. We're burdened. We're heavy laden. And as we look at the start of a new year, we're looking at it with great anticipation. Oh, I hope this, that's all I've seen for the past week. I'll be so glad when this year is over. I've had all of it I can take. Really? One of my children this morning made the best observation. You know, Art Linkletter once said, kids say the darndest things. Isn't it? Wasn't that the old program? My children sometimes amaze me. Well, actually, they amaze me a lot, and sometimes in a good way, and sometimes, well, one of them said this morning, well, today is a new day. Today is January 1st, 2017. We're riding to church. And he goes, what are you doing? He goes, doesn't feel any different, Dad. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing changed from Saturday to Sunday. Just because the calendar changed. And too many people are banking on that and forgetting that they are in a marathon. They're just trying to cross the line. Sometimes you'll be able to run past the crowd. And sometimes you'll be sitting on the sidelines breathing hard. You see, when them marathoners, we're crossing the line today. We start and new things come from it. And so in that spirit, I'm going to try something new today. This is January 1st, so I don't often get to try a whole lot of new stuff. But today, I'm going to try something new. You see, here's the thing. When them marathoners are getting ready to run back there at the back end of that starting line, they have a whole support group back there. They got people back there in every direction, tightening up their shoelaces, shaking them, rubbing their muscles, trying to get the blood flowing. Some of them are shaking each other. They're feeding bananas and throwing water on each other, and they're murmuring to themselves. And they got all these people that stand back there in the back preparing them for the race that they're about to run. And so today, I am your support. I am the man today, along with all of you, to help you start. And so on this new day, if you have something, you don't have to tell me what it is. You don't have to tell any of us what it is. But we've got about 4 or 5 hours to go. I invite you to come sit down in this chair and just let me say a few words over anything, good or bad, that you are looking forward to for this new year. You know, we stand at the beginning of a new year. And there's so much for us to think about. There's jobs. There's struggles within ourselves. There's family. There's want. There's desire. There's pain. And yet through all of that, we have one thing that just knocks it out. It's Jesus Christ. The blood from that cross cleaned us out. The blood from that cross gives us everything we need as we stand on the starting line yet again and look off in the distance. For we know what we have to face. Most participants do not run a marathon to win. Most important for the runners is their personal finish time and their placement within a specific gender, age, group, whatever. Strategies for completing a marathon include walking some of it, running some of it, power walking some of it. But they all have one thing in common. They all want to do one thing They aim to break down the barriers that they fought against and set new benchmarks. They all want to do one single thing. And what do they want to do? They want to cross the line. That's it. And so as we look toward a new year, we don't look toward for expectations of great and grand things. Money's not going to fall from the sky. You're not going to suddenly open up that publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes letter and get a new car. Well, maybe not. No. The things that are going to come to us is every day. Waking up, taking care of family, preparing this line here to cross. Knowing that what's ahead of us is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be full, but we're going to be richer for it, and we're going to walk closer with Jesus, and we're going to know God better, because we're going to pray harder, pray longer, pray stronger, pray more, and get out of it. And do you know what the blessing is going to be? Crossing the line. That's the blessing. Say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand ready to launch, don't let us sprint. Don't let us run wide open. Let us follow your lead, Father. We might run some. We might walk some. We might actually stop and sit by the side of the road. And every Sunday, we'll be like those people handing out the water for refreshment. Let us be here every Sunday to click off another step in the marathon. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the many things you have given us, the many things that you have taken from us. And we look forward to walking with you, running with you, being with you in this year to come. Whether the marathon line is 1 hour, 6 hours, 14 hours, a month, 6 months, or a year. Yeah, it does feel a little different to start over again, because we are reminded of what we had when you gave us Jesus. In his name, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Again, the bench is open if you need to leave a few behind. But as we go from here today, God bless you and Happy New Year.